Max Lucado. When Joseph faced his brothers 20 years after they had betrayed him, he made an incredible proclamation. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result. The Hebrew word translated here as bring about is a construction term. God is the master builder. He redeemed the story of Joseph. But we wonder if he will redeem our story as well. Yes, deliverance won't be painless. It may not be quick, but God will use your mess for good. You are a version of Joseph in your generation. You carry something of God within you, something noble, something holy, something the world needs. That is what God is building in you, but it will take time. That's just how these construction projects develop.
Good afternoon and welcome to SWAT Radio. It is Tuesday, May 7th, 2024. And I'm Doug McCary of His Light Ministries. Brad Sykes is out of town. He usually does the lead open. And usually when he's not around, I have David Gray as a backup. But they both are out of town taking care of their in-laws. Or, well, David's taking care of his dad. And Brad's taking care of his mother-in-law. And yesterday I had Craig Henderson, one of the SWAT leaders from Mandarin. And today I have a SWAT leader who is on staff at Shiloh Church here in Jacksonville. And his name is, I call him J-Lo. It's Joel Miller. Joel, welcome to SWAT Radio, brother.
Wow, welcome. It's good to be here, Doug. Let me first begin by saying this is an honor. It's truly an honor and a privilege to be here, to be in this great studio and sit in the same chair that Brad sits in. Wow.
This is a long time coming. I've been wanting to get you up here for a while. You have quite the story. And, you know, we might get into what's going on at the campuses, but I feel like your story is better to tell than what's going on at these riots, because the riots are going to come and go. But your story is, to me, an example of how God can use a broadcast like this to encourage somebody. And so tell a little bit, how did you get connected with SWAT?
Wow. When my wife and I first, we've been in Jacksonville here about 8 years, and within that first year, listening to Christian radio, I came over a station 91.7, and heard you teaching, and it was geared toward men, which initially got me started.
Yeah,
because I'm all in on men's ministry.
Yeah,
from my former church in Chicago. Mount Sinai, Missionary Baptist Church on the mm-hmm. west side of Chicago.
Mount Sinai. Gotta yes, like that
yes,
name.
Yes, Mount Sinai. And so when I heard you teach discipling men, I said, I got to get tuned into this. And then I got plugged in when I found out where one of the Bible.
You started coming to the Mandarin group, didn't you? Were we meeting at Howdy's place, the Jumpin' Jack's House of Food?
Yes.
That's good.
Yes, 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 yes. And got plugged in. And I was just so thrilled, the teaching, you taking the time, going verse by verse, expository teaching. And I'm already attracted to that to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew.
Because you must have been at a good church up in Chicago,
yes,
right?
Yes, good church in Chicago. Came here. I was following Pastor HB from Chicago. I got called into the ministry like in 2012. And I got plugged in. I overheard just watching some YouTube videos and saw him preach. And I was like, that's what I need to learn how to do.
Yeah, the pastor he's talking about is Pastor H.B. Charles at Shiloh Church here in town. And HB spoke at our SWAT training day a couple of years ago. And he's an amazing teacher. He's got an amazing story himself about how God propelled him into the ministry. But one of the things that struck me about your story is when you came to town, you came wanting to grow. You came asking God to grow you.
Yes.
And you turn on the radio and you listen, and God directed you to come to SWAT. And I can remember early on, some of our conversations were about, I want to be involved with men. I really want to be involved with working full time in ministry. And at the time, you were working, doing several jobs, but you were working, doing different things to support your family, your sweet wife, Lois, and your family. And now here you are on staff full time at a great church with Amen. A great pastor Amen. And a great team.
Amen.
I mean, like, you are like everything you wanted, God laid right in front of you. Like, almost knock and the door will be open, right? Seek and you will find.
Wow. Wow. It's amazing. When I look back at it now, it's truly the providence of God. God opened doors and he prepared people's hearts and minds. Doug, I got to say this. I was not expecting any of this. Not expecting to come to Jacksonville. Not expecting to serve it. Well, we're serving it in Jacksonville. I was working in UPS. You say?
Yeah.
I was working in UPS and serving at the church as well. Did not know that Pastor Charles was noticing me among thousands of people, right?
Yeah. And, but you know who was noticing you? It was God the Father who saw you with your heart. He saw you growing and prompted Brother Charles to do that. That's really, really cool. And I didn't even realize until I was out in California at the Shepherd's Conference.
Yeah.
And I mean, we had talked. You had told me you were doing stuff there. I did not realize to the extent you were doing stuff at Shiloh. But when I get to the Shepherd's Conference, I'm out there with 5,000 plus pastors, leaders, and I look over, and who do I see sitting next to HB Charles but Joel? And I'm like, Joel. I called him, and it was we got to spend some time with you and your staff, and it was really, really just special to be out there, hear Piper, to hear Riccardi and MacArthur and all the Phil Johnson and all those guys. Just a really, really special time out there, and I was so grateful for you, so proud, in the sense that this was what you wanted. And God gave you exactly what you asked for. Isn't that cool?
Amen. I'm still amazed, right? I'm still amazed at what God has done and is continuing to do even now. I just thank you for the fruit from your ministry has had a great impact on me. Mm. I think about the investment of those back in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Many have gone into the presence of the Lord. I'm thinking of Deacon Cornelius Walton, C.L. Barnes, Larry Hibbler, and Pastor Wim Locke.
Call them out, man.
I'm calling out these people because they've made an investment, right? They've made a spiritual investment into my life, and I never shall forget. There is no price you can put on that, and even the investment that people have made here since we've came to Jacksonville.
That's good. Well, you know, Joel, I want to encourage you to do something. I sat down one day, and I wrote out a list. It's 2 pages long of people that, you know, built into me to get me to a place where I'm at, spiritually growing. Not there yet, but growing, right? And the people that impacted me. And some of the people that impacted me I never met them. I heard them. Or I read something they wrote that just was very impactful to me, like Hudson Taylor, George Mueller, Warren Wiersbe. I've never met them. J.I. Packer, A.W. Tozier. None of these men did I ever meet. But But I asked God to bring people into my life. I don't know if I ever told you this. I wanted Billy Graham to mentor me. I thought I was going to be an evangelist like that. And his brother-in-law, Leighton Ford, ended up being one of my mentors.
Yeah.
And but I want to go back to my dad and mom. My dad and mom brought me up to know the value and importance of church, the church family, and the Bible.
Amen.
And my wife, Lori, those were the, you know, when I think of the people, and I told Lori this not too long ago, that God, Lori and I have been married 40 years. I don't think God has used anybody as much as he's used my wife in my life to sharpen me, to challenge me, to encourage me and exhort me. And really, that's what, and me and her life, that's what we're supposed to do, right? But I think back to some of, you mentioned some names for people in Meridian. They may not know these names. So WMER and WMOX in Meridian, where I grew up, Jim Hoven, James Hoven was a pastor at the church where the first time I ever felt the calling to follow Jesus was there. Jim Brannan was a pastor at Highland Baptist Church. My uncle, Major McCary, my dad's brother taught our Sunday school. And this sounds really funny, but my uncle would take me and my cousin and the other boys in the class, and he would teach us a story in the Bible, and he'd take us out to go get a icy or a grape float, you know? And Mike Wells did the same thing. These men who you don't even know took the time to invest. And that, I just think, I was thinking about yours. David Ingram is another one in Meridian. He was a youth pastor. And so we tend to think of guys like a MacArthur or Billy Graham and those kind of guys. But a lot of the people who invested significantly, we may never know. Like those names you mentioned, I don't know. Those names I'm mentioning, you don't know. But yet those people had significant impacts. And so the encouragement for people who are listening is you never know how God will use you in the life of somebody. So be a faithful witness. Teach a Sunday school.
Amen.
Go watch kids in the nursery.
Yes.
Love on those kids in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Go tell them a story. You go, listen, if I sat down and talked to you about some of the guys that taught me Sunday school, looking back, compared to teaching and stuff today, they weren't really anything like dynamic communicators like that, but they loved us.
Amen.
And they pointed us to Jesus in the way that they knew, and God used it. So I'm very thankful for those men.
Amen.
And so I thank you for just giving me that reminder by mentioning those guys.
And as I was listening to you say that, I was thinking about this acronym that I was taught early on in my Christian walk, FAT, right?
Faithful, available and teachable. Yeah.
And I've never forgotten that, right?
Yeah.
If you be faithful, and the scripture says this, you be faithful with a few things, I will make you, right? And so
I had an S on it. I make it plural.
Facts.
I do.
F-A-C.
Faithful, available, teachable, and servant's heart.
Yes. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Servant's heart is critical.
It is.
To that.
You can
be faithful and not have a servant's heart.
That's right. You can be teachable.
Teachable.
But not have a servant's heart. Yeah.
Amen, Doug.
So anyway, yeah, I'm so thankful you could join us. And Joel is over at Shiloh. I really highly recommend if you live in the downtown Jacksonville area, go try Shiloh. I think you guys also have a campus in Orange Park, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So there's two campuses. There's one on Beaver Street. Where's the one in Orange Park at? Do you know?
It's on Blandin Boulevard.
Okay. So Shiloh Church on Beaver Street here in Jacksonville. And also on Blanding Boulevard, H.B. Charles is the pastor. Great staff, great, faithful, available, teachable, servant-hearted pastor who teaches the truth like not many I know. And you will be blessed if you go there. And so, great choir, too, by the way.
Amen.
I like your choir. They make you sway. I like the that choir. Anyway, hey, you're listening to SWAT Radio. I got Joel in here with me today. We're going to be looking at Mark chapter 6, Jesus, the bread of life. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this first break.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomnehl.com.
Joshua 1:9 states, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Highway to Eternity Ministries is dedicated to encouraging those who have lost hope. The ministry seeks to serve those who cannot find peace and are considered unfit for inclusion in Christ's church. They use published works to teach God's word and share the encouraging testimonies of lives that have been transformed through God's power and grace. Highway to Eternity Ministry serves as a parachurch ministry that comes alongside churches to share its passion and commitment through spiritual writings, nuances, and experiences to everyone who has an interest in the teachings of Jesus Christ. For more information, contact Jeff Andrews at 904-436-5175 or visit www.highwaytoeternity.com. Highway to Eternity Ministries is a proud sponsor of SWAT Radio.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network and Oceanway at 91.7.
There is good news for the captive, good news for the shame. There is good news for the world who walked away. There is good news for the doubter, the one religion failed. For the good Lord has come to see and
say. Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Doug McCary of His Light Ministries with my friend and brother, Joel Miller from Shiloh Church here in Jacksonville. And Joel is sitting in for Brad today. And Joel is a very capable brother and disciple in the Lord. I'm so thankful that he was able to join us. I've been wanting to get him up here for a while. Now that he's here, and hopefully he'll get a little taste of it and I can get him back up here. Need to get HB up here too. HB will blow y'all socks off, man. HB, that brother, he's got an amazing story. But anyway, Well, this week we are in Mark chapter 6. We've been on a journey through Mark. And if you're just tuning in, we started the Gospel of Mark back in September. And one of the most important parts of this gospel is in chapter 1, where it says in the very first verse, the beginning of the gospel. That word there in the Greek is the word euangelion of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Euangelion was a secular term that was only used to announce the coronation of a king or emperor, the birth of a king or an emperor, or a great military victory of a king or an emperor. It was not a spiritual term, but the gospel writers and the apostles, the apostle Paul, they used that term because when they wrote about Jesus, he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the Emperor of Emperors. And so they used that term, clearly understanding and knowing what it meant and what it would communicate to put that in there. And so the lens through which we see this whole gospel is that the euangelion of Jesus is that the king has come. In fact, Jesus preached the kingdom of God is here. When he said that's when, one of the first things he said, the kingdom of God is at hand, and he tells people to repent, to believe, and to follow. And that really sets the stage for what will happen after, because after that, in chapters 2 through where we are now, we see him casting out demons, showing he has authority over the evil, satanic-led, demonic uprising that happened in heaven. And it shows him healing people of illness, which is the authority he has even over the curse of sin to bring death and brokenness and pain into our life. And he also showed that he had the authority over nature. And by nature, we know nature is not a person, but nature is the world God created, and it's a world that he allows. He is the God of the storm. He's the God of the hurricane. He's the God of the tornado. And those things happen because God has established weather patterns that happen. And so even though those weather patterns happen, he is able at any time to step in and go, nope, no weather today. He can change it in a moment's notice. And he did. We saw that. And so he even has the ability to reverse the curse and resuscitate somebody who dies, as was promised to Adam when he ate the apple. You eat this, you're going to die. You can eat of every fruit. Aren't we like that still to this day? You know, we can know there's 30 things we can do, and there's one we can't. We're going to be attracted to the one we can't do, isn't it?
Isn't it like when you see a sign on the grass that do not step on the grass? And for whatever reason, people want to step on the grass.
They want to go over there and just, I'm gonna step on it just because I want to prove I'm in charge.
Yes.
And what was the lie of the enemy? What did he say?
You shall be like
God. You will be like God. You're going to be a God. And so this whole time from chapter 2 through 6 where we are now, we see Jesus illustrating through his power and through his miracles and his teaching. He has authority in all these areas. But he did something, Joel, a couple of weeks ago, and I don't know if you heard it or not. Maybe you did. He basically fired all the religious leaders of Israel, got rid of them. Priests, nope, you're not in charge anymore. Scribes, nope, you're not in charge. Pharisees, not you anymore. Instead, the guys that I chose, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, Thaddeus, Thomas, Bartholomew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, you're going to be my guys. You are now the leaders of all of Israel spiritually. Now, think about that for a second. I mean, I don't think he made that pronouncement like that to them. He just sent them out representing him. But we can look back on it now and we see he fired all the religious leaders. And they go back historically to Aaron and the priesthood God established through Aaron.
Yeah.
So you're talking about over thousands of years. And now he says, nope, there's a new sheriff in town, and these are my guys. They're going to be the ones that are going to be demonstrating what I've taught, and they're going to be teaching about the things that I've shared, and they're going to be calling you to believe in me, just like they believe. Now, the disciples still aren't even to a place where they fully believe. You know, they're going to keep falling and growing. But that's what we see here. In fact, Joel, we called this message this week, Jesus, the Bread of Life, Discipleship 201.
2.0.
Remember last 2 weeks ago, they got in a boat with Jesus. And it says the disciples led him. Well, that was their first mistake. You don't lead Jesus. Anytime you try to lead Jesus, it's a bad deal. But they told him, go get in the back. We got this. We're sailors. We're out on the water. We're in our area of expertise.
But Doug, real quickly, we do the same too, right?
Yeah, we do. Well, you know where you see it for us?
Yeah.
In our prayer life. We tell God what we want, not asking him what he wants. I mean, and it's okay to share your hearts and your desires with him, but a lot of times we get really angry when he doesn't give us what we want. And so the disciples go out on that lake thinking, okay, this is our area of expertise, and what happens? Storm blows up. Don't you care? They wake him up. He's asleep. And he gets up and he tells the wind to stop and the waves stop immediately. And they go, who is this guy? And so then he sends them out with the authority to heal the sick, to cast out demons, even to raise the dead. He gives them that authority. They go out and do it. And then they come back. And what we're seeing this week, Mark 6, 30 through 44, is really the end of a sandwich. Mark starts off chapter 6 by talking about the disciples going out with that delegated authority. Then he puts Herod and John the Baptist in the middle of it, explaining that the popularity of Jesus and the disciples, Herod had no explanation for, so he thought John the Baptist had come back from the dead. So we get the story of how he killed John the Baptist.
Yeah.
And then today, or starting this week, we're looking at 30 through 44, where he now does his largest miracle, his largest in the sense that there were over, probably some people think 10 to 20,000 people, 5,000 men and their families, impacted by this miracle. And he feeds them with just a few crackers and a couple of sardines. I mean, that was a young boy's lunch that he took and he fed these people to show them that he is the bread of life. And so, Joel, what I'm going to have you do, we've got, what do we got, about 3 minutes, Jeremy? We have 3 minutes. I'm going to have you read verse 30 through 41 in Mark chapter 6.
Yes. Verse 30, the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. And when he was ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people.
And it says he divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate. They were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of broken fish and of the pieces in the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. And it says in Matthew, besides women and children. And so when we come back, we're going to look at how Jesus brings opportunities and challenges for his disciples, continued growth for his disciples. He brings the fulfillment of God's word to his disciples, abundant provision for his disciples, and eternal hope, not personal prosperity. So stay tuned. We're going to be right back after the news as we jump back into Mark chapter 6. Stay tuned to SWAT Radio.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Biden used a Holocaust Remembrance speech to condemn the recent rise in anti-Semitism. White House correspondent Greg Clugston with that report.
With the Gaza war and college campus protests as a current backdrop, the president spoke out against what he called a ferocious surge in anti-Semitism.
It's absolutely despicable, and it must stop.
He warned that too many people are at risk of not knowing the truth about the Holocaust or the October 7th Hamas attack. The president also reiterated his unwavering support for Israel and its security.
Even when we disagree.
Greg Clugston, The White House.
In Berlin, police have broken up a protest by several hundred pro-Palestinian activists who had occupied a courtyard at Berlin's Free University earlier in the day. The protesters had put up about 20 tents and formed a human chain around the tents. Police also broke up a similar student demonstration in Amsterdam. Also at SRNnews.com, Roger Edwards, lead forecaster with the Storm Prediction Center, says some areas of the Midwest are still in danger of tornadoes and other severe storms.
There's a line of thunderstorms as we speak here from north central Missouri down toward southwest Missouri, and it arcs over the northwest corner of Arkansas and then into eastern Oklahoma. And there's still potential for tornadoes and severe wind with that as that moves eastward into the Ozarks region and mid-Mississippi Valley.
Tornadoes in Oklahoma Monday night killed one person in Barnsdall. Apple-sized hail reported near Ellenwood, Kansas. Boeing calling off its first astronaut launch because of a fluttering rocket valve. The countdown halted Monday night. The flight bumped to next week. On Wall Street, the Dow up 64 points, the Nasdaq adding 32. This is SRN News.
Here's a minute to inspire fresh hope in your busy day.
Stress can increase your ability to endure or cause you to break. When God allows you to come into contact with painful circumstances, it's never for the purpose of harming you. I love this passage, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 and 9. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. God knows you intimately, and He knows the right amount of pressure to permit in your life. When you surrender yourself into the perfect hands of the Master Craftsman, you then invite Him to reproduce the life of Christ in you.
This Hope Minute was brought to you by Hope for the Heart. To learn more, go to hopeminute.org.
There's major delays because of a crash on I-95 southbound before Kings Road, blocking the right lane. Also, there's a broken down vehicle on Butler Boulevard eastbound at the ramp to Belford Road that's blocking the off-ramp right lane. Mostly clear tonight, low 71. Wednesday, sunny and hot, high 95. From the Traffic and Weather Center, I'm AJ.
They say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And right now, I'm losing bad. Stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it'll be all right.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Doug McCary of His Light Ministries with Joel Miller from Shiloh Church. Joel, again, just such a privilege to have you on today, and I hope this will be the first of many times I get to get you back on here. Blessings on you guys over at Shiloh. If you are looking for a good church and you're living the downtown Jacksonville area, or you live over off Blanding, Shiloh Church, both campuses, H.B. Charles, the senior pastor, great staff of guys. Joel's on staff there. And I met a lot of the staff guys out at the Shepherd's Conference. Any church that'll bring their staff out there, that's a good church, man.
Amen.
So, anyway, glad you could be there. Hey, you know, Joel, we were talking about mentors and people in our life that were significant. There was somebody
that I left out that I have to mention. She passed away about 9 years ago from Meridian. Her name was Martha Drew. Every time I went back to Meridian and I would go visit Miss Martha, I called her. She was an older lady. Her husband had passed away, and she just kept a yellow legal pad full of names on it that she prayed for every day. And mine was always up at the top of that list. She prayed for me for a long time for my ministry and for what God would do. And, you know, we don't underestimate the power of prayer warriors.
Amen.
So for you people out there that go, well, I don't know about going and speaking at a Sunday school, be a prayer warrior. Just Amen. Write list and pray for these people, because it was so encouraging. It was one of the greatest supporters I had, just to pray all the time. I just had to throw that in.
Doug, you mentioned Martha Jew as a person who was a prayer warrior who prayed for you and your wife, Lori. And I'm thinking about my wife, Lois, right, who is my prayer partner, right, who prays for me. She's a woman of prayer. And I know for a fact there's no way. She was instrumental in me, first of all, coming to know Christ as my personal Lord.
Well, you better throw her in that mix.
She's at the top of the
she's at top the top of the
influence.
That, yeah.
She's been instrumental and very, you know, you mentioned Lori and how, you know, she knows how to encourage. She knows how to challenge. And she knows how to keep me before the Lord in prayer.
So. That's true. Keep you humble, too.
Keep you humble. She knows all my faults, right?
Nobody knows you like she does, right? Well, you know, Jesus knew his disciples. And remember, he's training them. And, you know, I had you read, and when you read verse 34, we talked about the opportunities and challenges Jesus brings for his disciples. But today I really want to hone in on the continued growth for the disciples, verse 34 through 37. In verse 34, what had happened, the disciples had come back, and the popularity of Jesus and his disciples' ministry was growing. And, you know, when that happens, Joel, and you see this too, I'm sure, when there's great crowds, not everybody is really on board.
Yes.
Sometimes people just like being part of the crowd. Sometimes they're posers. Sometimes they're self-seeking. And so there was a huge crowd that was following the disciples and Jesus. And it says when Jesus looked out on that crowd, they were like sheep without a shepherd. Mm. Now, that's an allusion back to the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 34. Yes. If you go to Ezekiel 34 and listen to what God's word says, Ezekiel 34, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy, say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, you shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep?
Yes.
You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, and you slaughter the fat ones, but you don't feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for the wild beast. My sheep were scattered, and they wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered. You think Jesus wasn't referring to this passage? There with none to seek or search for them. He goes on to say down in verse 8, he says, my shepherds have not searched for my sheep. Verse 10, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hands and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer will the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouth, that they may not be food for them. And he says in verse 11, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he's among the sheep that have scattered, so I will seek out my sheep. He goes on to say, I will feed them on the mountains of Israel. I will feed them with good pasture.
Yeah.
They will lie down in good grazing land on rich pasture. They will feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my people, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the stray. I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy, and I will feed them justice. Man, I tell you, Joel.
Wow, that's a great verse.
That's Ezekiel 34. And this was written 500 years before this time period. So it had not gotten any better. And you know the thing about sheep? They can't exist without a shepherd. They're the only animal in the animal kingdom that can't take care of itself. They can't feed themselves. They can't protect themselves. They can't lead themselves. They need to be cared for. And just like sheep can't make it without a shepherd, humans can't make it without Yahweh. We can't.
Amen. Doug, I thought about what a contrast between what a true shepherd is, contrast that with a false shepherd.
Yes.
The many false shepherds that's in our land today.
Oh, there's so many, Joel. Yeah. And you know how you can tell they're false? Because they don't care about the sheep. Yeah. And so look at this. Remember, what is Jesus doing? This is about the disciples. This isn't about the crowd. I mean, yeah. It is. He cares for them. But he's more concerned with training the 12. This is 2.0, you know, 201. And so what did Jesus say? He looked on them with compassion. Mm. Well, you would think that would be a clue to the disciples. It says it grew late, verse 35. The disciples came to him and they said, it's a desolate place and it's late. And what they said next was not very compassionate. Send them away.
Send them away.
Think about that. Send them to go on this countryside to find their own food. And you know what Jesus did? I love this. He said, you give them something to eat. And then their response should have been, okay, master, tell us what to do. We'll do it. Instead, they make this sarcastic, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread? In other words, that's not going to, even that, that's probably all they have. That won't be enough. And here's what we do. We tend to look at ourselves first, our abilities, our resources. Does that sound familiar?
Sounds very familiar.
Right, well, listen, what did they just do on the water? Lord, you sit in the back of the boat. We got this. And the storm came up and they were like, save us, save us. We do the same thing over and over. And so even though they just came back from casting out demons and healing the sick, even though they saw how him calm the wind and the waves, they saw him cast out 1,000 demons.
Mm.
They still didn't get it. But Jesus is so patient. And I love this verse. This is our memory verse at our church for this series my pastor's on now, Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Isn't that a great encouragement?
Amen. What a great encouragement.
Yeah, he's going to do it, not us. Mm-hmm. Even when we are faithless, he's faithful. And over in John's account in John 6, Philip goes, we don't have enough. And Andrew said, well, there's a boy here with some fish and some crackers, but it ain't enough. They didn't say, this is what we have. They just said, we ain't got enough. And I think so often in our lives, we're like that. Yeah. Instead of saying, God, take this and do with it what you will, we're bringing it to you.
Right.
We're bringing it to you. And what we see next is mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. We see the fulfillment of God's word to his disciples. And there's a clue in the text that most people blow right over. They see this and they go over verse 39, Joel, and they don't even catch what's going on textually there. And when we come back, we're just going to get into it just a little bit. But I want to go back to this continued growth that he's committed to. He who began a good work will bring it to completion. And if people want to call, they can call in. And the number to call is 1-844-777-SWAT. That's 844-777-7928. Or you can send an email to ask@swatradio.com. I look forward to hopefully having you call in or email. And we'll be right back after this last break. Joel Miller and Doug McCary looking at Mark chapter 6, the feeding of the 5,000 and how God fulfills his word. Stay tuned.
Amen.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by The Guardian Group. You know Brad Sykes as co-host of SWAT Radio. While Brad is committed to making disciples both on and off the air, his ministry extends into the marketplace as a licensed real estate agent with Keller Williams Southside. Brad and his wife Vicki are real estate agents in Northeast Florida. They are the founding partners of The Guardian Group. They help people buy, sell, and invest in real estate with offices near Butler and Southside Boulevards. 904-580-7255. That's 904-480-7255. And online at guardiangroupjax.com. That's guardiangroupjax.com. The Guardian Group. Happy to bring you SWAT Radio on the truth. The Florida, Georgia Truth Network, on the air in St. Mary's at 91.3.
Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the other not quite, with all the never get it right.
I love that song. I'm just a nobody. Man, that is such a great reminder that he took these men who were nobodies. I mean, they come from a little podunk fishing village on the northeast part of the Sea of Galilee. And he takes them and they become the spiritual leaders of God's people. That's amazing.
Yes.
It really is. Think about it. They were growing up. They flunked out of rabbi school. They were fishermen. They were just men who pretty much were going along, and Jesus said, you know what? Follow me.
Yeah.
Follow me. Follow me. And no credentials on the wall. In fact, their only credential. In fact, this is the best credential, and this is the most hopeful thing for me, and hopefully it is for you, that the best qualification for anybody that God uses is that he's called them.
Amen.
And it's really the only qualification, because you can have all the degrees. You can go to the seminary. You can memorize books. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit and the calling to do what he's called you to do that, you're just spinning your wheels. Unless the Lord builds a house, Psalmist says, you labor in vain. You can get up on the wall, look for the armies coming all day long, but it's in vain.
Yes.
That's what he says.
I like it too, Doug. This, you know, verse, I can't think the verses in my head, that they recognize later on that they had been with Jesus.
Yeah, we said that yesterday over in Acts chapter 5.
Yeah.
You know, they recognize, they said these were just common uneducated men, but they recognize that they had been with Jesus. Well, in verse 38, Jesus says, what do you have? Go and see. Now, to their credit, Joel, they went.
Yeah.
They went. And they said, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And you always picture, if you see a lot of people draw them, they draw these big loaves of bread. It wasn't. It was almost like granola bars. And And the fish, the word for fish there is the little sardine-like fish that is in the Sea of Galilee. So it's not what you have, but what you do with what you have. We bring it to him, and we let him use it for his glory. And Amen. The disciples, even though the disciples go, hey, you know, even if we got 200 denarii worth of bread, we can't feed these thousands of people. And Philip goes, we don't have enough. Andrew says, we got some fish and crackers, but that's not enough. But when he said, go and see, they stepped out in faith and they brought it to him. And they witnessed something that was amazing.
A miracle.
Like he did something Chick-fil-A couldn't even do, man. And Chick-fil-A is one of the most efficient restaurants out there, right? But I'm going to tease tomorrow with this because I'll get more into it tomorrow. In verse 39, it says, he commanded them to sit down in groups on the green grass. Now, Joel, how many times in the New Testament do you read a color?
Green, the color.
You don't see color in the New Testament, do you? But so if you see a color, I call that a textual speed bump. It's supposed to make you stop and go, okay, he's taking
me
somewhere.
Remind me of Old Testament.
Yes.
Psalms 23.
Absolutely. And what's that about?
You know, the shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd. And what did he just say? They're like a sheep without a shepherd. See, this is a textual speed bump that's supposed to make you go back, not only to Ezekiel, that's another place, but to the psalm about, and it was written, David wrote that, it's the greatest shepherd psalm there is. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Wow.
Wow, this is awesome, David.
Have you ever thought about that?
Yes, I did. When I initially read this, I immediately go, because I've been studying through the Old Testament. So these analogies that you're reading through the New Testament come straight out of the Old Testament. The Ezekiel passage, I think it's a passage in Numbers 17, I wrote it down here. Numbers 27. Numbers 27, 17, 1 Kings 22, 17. I think those the Numbers 27 passages, I think you wrote it down here, deals with the sheep without a shepherd.
Yes.
As well as the 1 Kings 22, 17.
Yeah. And Numbers 27 says that the Numbers 27, 17 says, who shall go out before them? This is Joshua and Moses.
Yes.
He's getting ready to basically commission Joshua. And he says, who shall go out before them and come in before them? Who will lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be as a sheep without a shepherd? In other words, God established the leaders of Israel to shepherd his people.
Yes.
You know, I talked a little with Craig yesterday about this. There's a growing trend in our culture in America for pastors and church ministry leaders to have more of a CEO attitude than a shepherd attitude.
Yes.
In fact, one pastor says that the CEO or the shepherd model is gone away. That's an old-fashioned model we shouldn't use anymore. I don't know how you throw it away when it's all throughout the Bible.
That's because they throw the Bible away too.
Well, that's true, because the same pastor said we need to unhitch from the Old Testament.
Oh, I'm about to say his name.
Oh, yeah, I don't care. It don't matter. I mean, I've said his name on here before.
Okay. Right.
But the problem is, and I don't want people to get fixated on him.
Right.
But he is a very, very popular pastor in the Southeast.
Yes.
I mean, very well known, written a lot of books. And people listen to that and hear that and they go, yeah, yeah. You hear people like echoing him like, yeah, we need to. And that's
go from the biblical model of shepherding to this CEO business model, running the church as a corporation, as a brand, as a business model. It's human wisdom.
Well, yeah. And the other thing, Joel, is humans are represented by sheep in relationship to God. We're not employees. We're not an employee. We can't take care of ourselves. We can't do it without him. No matter how good you think you are, no matter how much you read the Bible, no matter how much you give to the church, no matter how much you serve in the church, you will never be good enough for him to have you unless you have Jesus. Amen. Unless he's got you. You know, he's got you, and you yield to him, and you know you need him, because it's about the need. You know, that's the thing. When you contrast the centurion in the Bible, who said, you don't even have to come to my house. I know I need you. I can't do it without you. I'm a man under authority. You just speak it and it'll happen. And Jesus said, I haven't seen a faith like this in all of Israel. The disciples saw him cast out demons. They saw him still a storm. They saw him, you know, Peter, James, and John saw him raise somebody from the dead. They saw him raise Jairus' daughter from the dead.
Yes.
And now,
and yet.
And now he goes, you go feed him. Oh, we can't. You know, and again, like you said, if we'd have been there, we'd have done the same thing, because it's human nature. So here's a question that we need to wrestle with. As God continues to grow me, what areas of growth continue to surface that need my attention? In other words, am I learning from my failures, or am I repeating them? This is an accountability question. It's a growth question. And remember that the main thing we looked at today is the continued growth of his disciples. Jesus is absolutely committed to continue growing us. There is no coasting in the Christian life. Jesus doesn't say, okay, just say you're on my team. He says, follow me. So what happens, Joel, if you start following Jesus, but then you just stop and try to stay neutral? You don't do anything. Not going away from him, but you're not following him. He's continuing on. So what's happening? There's a gap growing. Yeah.
I always say we either are progressing in our Christian faith, progressing, or we regressing. Or I like to use that term, Michael Jackson, moonwalking. in our Christian walk.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. We're either progressing or we're regressing, but there is no neutrality. There is no coasting. You don't lasso him and just hang on and drag. No. He will drag you if you're his kid sometimes if you're not following him. But the bottom line is he wants to grow us, to teach us. And that's why, again, that verse is so encouraging. Philippians 1:6. It's a great verse to commit to memory. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ.
Doug, real quick, another question is, how am I seeing God's word fulfilled in my life?
Yeah, because he fulfilled his word. What he said in Ezekiel, you remember what we read in Ezekiel 34? He said, I'm going to feed you, even though the other people aren't taking care of you, the shepherds. Mm-hmm. I'm going to fire them, and I'm going to take care of you. Now, think about that. 5,000 men sitting out there listening. He not only fed them physical food, he taught them all day long. Remember, you read, I think it was back where it was back in... Verse 35 or something, or 30, no, it's 34. He began to teach them many things. So he's not only feeding them spiritually, he actually feeds them physically too. And that's a big chore when you got 5,000 men and their families, ain't it?
Amen.
Yeah. Well, I hope that this has been encouraging to you today. Tomorrow, Craig Henderson will be back with me. Hey, if you would like to join us at a SWAT group, go to SWATradio.com and click on the meetings tab. You can see where we meet. This week will be our second to last. We got two more weeks And if you want to listen to any past programs, go to www.swatradio.com. We'll be back in Mark 6 tomorrow. Joel, thank you. Tell HB hi, and thank you for being here,
thanks
brother.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah.
Thanks for allowing me to be here, Doug.
Hey, thanks, Jeremy. Take care, and see you on SWAT Radio tomorrow.